The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if the great millstone were put around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than to go than with two hands and go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes and be thrown into Gehenna, where there is worms that do not die and the fire is not quenched." The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening, all you football fans. God is good. All the time. Well, welcome to the 26th day of Ordinary Time. In today's gospel reading, it's a continuation of Mark's gospels from the last couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago, 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time, Jesus gave the disciples and us our marching orders. Three simple things. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Do not just as I say, but as I do. Last week, there was an argument over who was the greatest. And Jesus said to them, "The last must be first, but the first, the last must be servant of all." This week, the issue is a little bit different, but the message is basically the same. There are two clear messages in today's readings. One, never stop the works of God just because they don't fit within the way you think they should happen. And two, our good works for others come from God and will be rewarded within what you think should happen. Oh, I'm sorry. But the others, I lost my place. Look at that. Our good works for others come from God. The evil that we do is sometimes we will be accountable for in the afterlife. So jealousy is a characteristic that Jesus did not and does not allow his followers to engage in. It is sinful and wrongheaded. But let's look at the first reading in Numbers. Now, Numbers is an interesting book in the Old Testament. It depicts the wanderings and plight of the chosen people after their freedom from the Egyptians and before Moses' death, around 39 years. This book was originally called Bamidbar, which is translated as The Wanderer, because it depicts the wanderings of the Israelites. But the Greek translation called it Numbers, and that's the name that stuck. And the reason it was called Numbers was because it was a book where God told the Israelites to take a census of their following. God commanded Moses to take this census because of the leadership load that had been put on him. There were 70 families or tribes that entered into Egypt, and by now their numbers numbered in at least 600,000 members. So there was a need to disperse the leadership responsibilities. So God commanded Moses to gather the 70 elders upon the Lord's instructions and share them in the spirit of leadership duties and take some of the burden lifting off of Moses. Now, as we heard in that first reading, only 68 showed up. And the Lord blessed them and gave them the spirit and the gift of prophecy. But meanwhile, the two characters in our first reading, Eldad and Medad, were not there. They didn't show up, but they were seen prophesizing to the people, and the others were jealous. And Joshua asked Moses to stop them. What did Moses do? Instead of stopping them, he chastised the others and Joshua for their jealousy and pointed out that the Lord placed his spirit on all the elders, and that was shown to, and they were shown to be deserving by their actions. The sin of jealousy was being condemned by Moses. But let's go back to Jesus for a moment. So, in this reading, John points out that the men were casting out demons in Jesus' name, but were not followers. They tried to prevent them, but Jesus told them, "Do not prevent them." Jesus told them, "For whoever is not against us is for us." He is condemning jealousy and showing how to be inclusionary towards those who seek redemption. This is a lesson for us as well. We must not look to others and compare ourselves, but instead we should open others and draw others into the lot, into our lot, and make them feel welcome. Jesus wishes to include all in his ministry and excludes no one. This is not an easy message for his disciples to learn, and it's not easy for us either today. For it seems that we like to hide within our groups and feel comfortable while keeping other interested people out. Jesus condemned this attitude and insisted on them being as inclusionary as a standard. Jesus wants the whole world to share in the rewards of his redemption. For he was crucified and died for all of us, not just a select few. Jesus is for all. We, as his disciples of Christ, and we are, need to avoid creating obstacles that might hinder another's path towards faith. But it doesn't seem that way when we continue reading the gospel. It appears that Jesus is excluding those who offend. If your right hand offends, cut it off. For it's better to live maimed in this life than to enter the afterlife with both hands and sin on our soul. Now, as a sideline, when reading this, we immediately think that Jesus is alluding to hell when he says Gehenna. And true, it might be. But Gehenna is actually a real place in southwest corner of Jerusalem. It's because of its defilement that it became a garbage dump. And it was a garbage dump for most of Jerusalem. Because it was a dump, there was a continuous fire, hence the unquenchable fire and the worms that would not die. And because the people knew this place, they knew that this was the place where the wicked go. And this was something that the people could really relate to. So back to Jesus. isn't using these gruesome images to frighten us or to turn us away, but to convince us that doing good is always rewarded, but doing evil will always be condemned. Jesus is teaching us that all good deeds we do, no matter how trivial, pleases God and will be richly rewarded. He wants us to appreciate the good deeds of others. It is important for us to love and care for one another in order to be faithful followers of Jesus. He is pointing out that to his disciples and to us, that it is our job of fostering faith in others as well as ourselves. It is indeed an awesome responsibility. It is important to find things in our lives that nurture our faith and the faith of others. We must have healthy relationships with our families, nurture healthy relationships with our friends and associates, encourage healthy activities for our families and friends, and nurture things that nurture our faith. We must choose good literature, good movies, wholesome entertainment, and the like to perpetuate the faith path that we are on. We also need to avoid obstacles toward that goal. We need to make concerted efforts to avoid these kinds of books and movies and entertainment that may cause us to sin and offend God. This is our chosen path. This is the path that Jesus is instructing us to follow. This is our path. I want to close with a little prayer. I did not author this, but it's a prayer we can all say and we can all relate to. Loving Father, I invite you into my life today. Help me to be the best version of myself by seeking your will and becoming a living example of your love in the world. Open my heart to areas of my life that need change in order for me to carry out your mission and experience the joy that you have imagined in my life. Inspire me to live my faith in ways that are dynamic and engaging. Give me courage when I'm afraid. Give me hope when I am discouraged. And give me clarity at time of decisions. Teach me to enjoy uncertainty and do my small part to enable our church to become all that you imagined it would be for all people of our times. Amen. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.